Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Fund Obamacare. Tell Congress to tell the president either he accepts a continuing resolution to fund the government or he shuts the government down and it hangs around his neck so that he can try to keep the spearhead of his fundamental transformation of America from a constitutional republic to a welfare warfare state. Things heat up in Syria and the G20, which we will be talking about at our regular showtime Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tune in for that. Don't let that distract you from all the shit that's coming up before Congress when they come back next week. We're going to bring you special midweek shows all throughout September focusing on the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. You have to ask yourself if the situation in Syria is about the warfare state, that Obamacare is about the welfare state. Those are the two pillars of technocratic, bureaucratic statism. It's not about health care. It's about tyranny. You are live with Tex and Rex, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City, home of the welfare warfare state.
And this is Tex, broadcasting from Houston, Texas, side of the American economy, which, by the way, is based on oil and gas for the most part. So we had a little hiatus, came back, and now, oh, my God, we go away for a little while, now we're going to war again. Holy crap. They still got countries in the Middle East? Countries we haven't invaded yet. How many countries are there? We're like running through every one of them. We got this many troops. I think our population of our country is like 300,000. There's like 6.5 billion people on planet Earth. Are you serious? No pun intended. We doing this thing? What's going on here? This is insane. Anyway, I don't know. I think this is a big mistake, waste of time. Something we shouldn't be doing. But, you know, I'm going to be honest, I think this is going to float this a little bit. I'll float this one early. I think a lot of Republicans are just against it because Obama's for it and not against it on principle, which, you know, I don't know, sometimes even a broken watch is right, you know, twice a day. So good thing they're kind of right about this one this time. But, you know, I'm just concerned. All this stuff, everything comes down to party. It's always party, 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 and nothing is about principle. But this Syria thing is a big, huge, massive mistake. And I don't know. I look forward to talking about that in a bit more depth this evening.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that this coming Sunday. But you know, these four shows we're going to bring you throughout September, Tex, we're going to, you and I are going to be focusing on the welfare side of the welfare warfare state. But obviously, you know, developments are going to happen with Syria, the G20, with what's going on. They're not unrelated, and that's, I think, what a lot of people are missing. It's not as if it's one without the other. It's the welfare warfare state. They need to have you know, warfare abroad so that they can have tyranny at home, and that's what this is about. And what we're focusing on is stopping this thing. Now, the Republicans have voted it down, and they've run campaigns on it, and they've fundraised on it. But the simple fact is that...
But they haven't done anything.
They haven't, exactly.
I raised money on it. Oh, look how rich I got talking all this blabber that I don't actually believe or do anything about. You know, that's
right.
A good job. That's a good job if you can get it.
Well, that's the Republican, you know, the rinse pre-pubic Karl Rove strategy is you know, talk conservative, fundraise on conservative principles, appeal to conservatives rhetorically, and then govern like a typical friggin' rhino, supporting statism, corporatism, oligarchy, and war. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Steal their money from them, and when they actually nominate a candidate that stands for what they believe in, screw that person.
Exactly.
And drive them out of office. And then come back and ask them for more money, and they'll probably give it to you. That's how stupid they are.
That's Karl Rove.
Republican Party.
In a nutshell.
Screwing you over for about 30-plus years.
Yep, you got it. I mean, that's exactly, and that's I think what a lot of well-intentioned, honestly conservative voters who are just too busy or just not don't pay enough attention don't know, and that's why we're doing these shows. You know, we're doing it because it's up to you out there, grassroots conservatives and libertarians, and let's remember something. If you're a real conservative, you're already two-thirds a libertarian, so stop fighting with each other and get along. Simple fact is that you've got to bring these people along. You've got to inform them, and that means that you've got to get the word out there. And the way you're going to do that is you've got to promote this show. We don't have an advertising budget. We don't have any sales. We don't have any revenue. You are our arm. So what I need you to do is realize if you're in Blog Talk Radio right now, right below the graphic that says Vote Smuggler, there's a follow button. Click on that. You will get emails in your Blog Talk Radio profile when we're broadcasting, especially when we do these specials in the middle of the week. Now remember, our regular time is Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tune in live. You can always listen to the archives on the Tex and Rex Show page on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to Blog Talk Radio, find the Tex and Rex Show, click on our page, and every show we've done is listed there. You can just listen right in your browser or mobile device. And right below the scrolling graphics, there's a link that says Download Episode. If you right-click on that, you get an MP3. You can burn it to a CD. You can send it an email, put it in your MP3 device, but share it with people. Get it out there. Maybe our style is a little too radioactive. Maybe you don't agree with everything we say, but there are some very important points no one's talking about that you've got to get out there and get people informed. So spread the word, and especially these shows. Share this show after it's already aired. This is relevant information for the rest of this month because we got a continuing resolution a situation coming up at the end of September, and the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, is more or less, with all the waivers and exceptions and delays, but it's more or less going full online October 1st. So there's not a lot of time. You got to get it out there. Also, if you're on Facebook, go to the Tex and Rex Show page and like the page, and you will get notifications in your timeline newsfeed when we have broadcasting shows, and also we have other relevant information that we share on that page. Another page you need to go to, and this is really the focus of this show, and we're going to bring you a lot of information about why this is about way more than obliterating Obamacare. If you truly want a constitutional, conservative / two-thirds libertarian comeback, if you want something akin to what happened when Reagan came into office in the 80s following the debacle of the Carter years, if you want something similar to when Gingrich brought in the first majority to Congress back in the mid-90s, if you want something that feels like the inspiration of the Ron Paul revolution that was quashed by John Boehner, John Sununu, and all the other illegal bastards in Tampa, if you want that, then you've got to work for it. You have to do the work. No one else is going to do it. You have some champions fighting for you up on the Hill, but they can't do it alone. They need a tsunami of grassroots support. What I want you to do right now is I want you to go to a website, don'tfundit.com. That's one word, no hyphens, nothing else. Don'tfundit.com. So that is a website that will take you to a petition. It's also a fundraising thing. If you got the funds, that's fantastic. Give it to them because, the enemy is well healed and well funded, and so we need funding. But if you don't have the funds, that's okay. Put in some sweat capital. The first thing you can do is sign it. Sign the petition. It's up to 1,106,000 signatures right now. We need to hit 3 million before these bastards come back to D.C. next week. So we've got a lot of work to do. There's a little tweet link. Tweet it out with the hashtag, don't fund it. Hashtag don't fund it. Share it on your Facebook page. Send people emails. Tell people about it. Now you might think, well, what's important in getting these signatures? Well, numbers count. 2014 is not next year. 2014 is now. If you notice all the posturing, like Tex was talking about over the Syria thing, and you're going to notice when they come back next week, most of them are not doing things on principle. They're doing it with an eye on 2014 to keep their damn seats. Numbers matter. They need numbers in order to win. And numbers tell them stuff. For example, if a congressman gets 500 calls in a day and three of them say, bomb Syria, and everybody else says don't, he's going to have to think about that. Even if he wants to bomb Syria, he's going to have to really think about that because he's going to have to try to gain those people's votes. Same thing here. 1 million signatures represents way more than 1 million people. They know that because they know that maybe 1 in 100 is actually going to sign a petition or click a link or do something political. Everybody else might just bitch at their TV. So they know that the magnitude of these numbers represents a larger part of their constituency. What they need to see is massive numbers saying that we support this. We don't want to fund this thing. This thing is dangerous. We're going to talk about why it's dangerous, but I need you to go there right now, don'tfundit.com. This is a major push by Senators Ted Cruz and Mike Lee. And these are some of your champions for the Constitution and liberty up there. Get on point, okay? So here's the deal. Congress passed this thing. Remember when they did that, Tex?
Yes, I do recall.
Yeah. Did people want it?
Yeah, with a massive Democratic majority. No, they rammed it down everybody's throat. And they said, we don't even know what it says, but, it'll be fun. It'll be like Christmas. We'll open it up and we'll find a big elephant crap in it, or a donkey crap, as the case may be. And then we'll all be surprised, and then we'll figure it out from there. Because rather than talk about it and debate it before we actually pass it, in this case, we need to run it through really fast because we've totally been bribed by, and I mean, we've totally received a lot of support from the pharmaceutical and the healthcare industry to pass this thing and not read it. And so we're just going to go past it, and then we'll fix it later. That's basically what they said. Like, yeah, it sucks, but if we don't pass it now, we'll never have this great, wonderful thing that sucks so bad we have to delay it forever. Oh, and the unions that, by the way, were for it want to get the hell out of it because it's such a pile of crap. You know, apparently, if you turn over the writing of the legislation to the people who are the primary beneficiaries of it, and you let them know ahead of time that you're not even going to read it, you don't really even care as long as the money keeps coming in their coffers, they'll write just about anything. They'll basically write your lease for you. You know, they'll turn you back into a serf. Like, oh, we could totally fleece them this way, we could fleece them that way, we could fleece them this way. Every little idea they've ever had as to how they could screw you, they'll write into the thing. And even the people in Congress were like, oh, my God, like, we need out of this thing. It was a horrible deal to begin with. And now it turns out, oh, guess what, it's completely unworkable. But people think, well, we have to fund it, because if we vote to defund it, it's just going to go to Obama, and he's going to veto it. We'll make him veto the stupid thing, and then make him keep delaying the implementation. Well, hey, idiot, if it's so freaking great, why are you continuing to delay implementation? Why are you vetoing defunding the thing? It was a bad deal from the get-go, and you need to do something to shut it down and not use defunding as just like a fundraising thing, but actually do something about it. It's a terrible freaking law.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, there are parts of it that are good. Parts of anything that are good. I got a great idea. Shut it down and then vote the parts that are good, right? Have a new bill that actually doesn't contain all the crap, right? I mean, you got 3,000 pages worth of stuff. How are you going to figure out what the good parts are from the bad parts? Why don't you write something that's only good parts? I don't know. Is that so
That's a novel idea. That's a novel friggin' idea. Why don't you write a good bill?
Yeah. We actually don't write bills in Congress anymore. I don't know if anybody knows that. But they actually don't write the bills anymore. They get industry to write it for them, and they just vote on them. And they don't bother to read them. They just have their lawyers read it and say, oh, yeah, well, I don't know. Industry gave me a bunch of money, so now I think it's a good bill. You know, Oh, my advisors say it's a good bill, so now I'm for it. I'm playing fucking poker here and sitting in the Senate. You know, whatever. Everybody says everything's okay, so it's probably okay. Probably be a lot of effort to, like, actually think about this stuff. But, you know, hey. I got a Twitter account.
I can tweet it out, and I can vote for it and get paid. I don't know if it's good or bad or what it says, but frankly, it doesn't even really matter because it's not even really a law. It's an authorization for technocratic bureaucrats like Catherine Sebelius and then the IRS to write 70,000 pages of regs that are actually going to be the things that affect your life. I'm not sure, you know, I haven't read it recently, although I recommend everybody read it this coming September 17th. The Constitution,
like,
if I'm not mistaken.
Very much. Oh, the Constitution, I thought you meant the health care bill.
Yeah.
Read that.
If I'm not,
that's like
if I'm not mistaken.
I think they read that to the prisoners at Guantanamo. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, they do. It's instead of waterboarding them now these days, they just read them the friggin' health care bill. I don't recall text. Maybe you know what section it's in, but I don't recall the section in the Constitution that says that the legislative power vested in Congress, except when Congress decides to delegate it to the executive departments. You remember that section in the Constitution?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Is that in the penumbra?
It's ridiculous. I mean, the fact is that the reason that the House is up for election every 2 years is supposed to be the body that's closest to and accountable to the people. And so the fact is that they don't have the power to abdicate and delegate away their legislative power to bureaucratic, technocratic regulators. And here's the messed up thing. You said your industry writes these bills. Well, yeah, industry writes these damn bills. And the fact is that they write them to benefit, you know, the corporations and their lobbyists and the embedded interests. They don't write them to actually do what the bill says. So this is allegedly the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which doesn't fucking protect any patients. And it's not affordable. So it's just an Orwellian named thing. And here's the real kicker, Tex. The Senate took this up as H.R. 3590. This is in the 100th and 11th Congress, H.R. House Resolution 3590, right? Now, House Resolution 3590 had nothing to do with health care, insurance, or medical care. H.R. 3590 was a bill that was addressing housing tax breaks for service members. It had nothing to do with this. But what do? They erased all that, and they shoved this bill in there. Why? Well, we know the Constitution says that revenue bills, and this is a revenue bill, have to originate in the House. So if it originated in the Senate, it would not be valid. So the way they made it valid was by taking an existing revenue bill from the House and writing Obamacare into it. Well, maybe that's, you know, technically right, but – I call bullshit. H.R. 3590 had nothing to do with health care. This tax, as Judge Roberts called it, the individual mandate is a tax. This tax bill did not originate in the House. Therefore, it is unconstitutional on those grounds alone. That's how messed up this process is.
Well, absolutely. And the thing is, they always do this kind of stuff. They're like, meet with the letter of the law, but not the intention of the law. So we'll take this bill that we were talking about before. We'll have a vote where we just wipe out what was written there before, and we'll pour this vessel into it, and now that's the thing. And so I guess that makes everything freaking kosher, right? Well, that's not the way the Constitution is supposed to work. That's not what was intended. That's not meeting with the intention of the law. And it's just ramrodding something through. And who's enabling all this kind of stuff? Congress.
Yeah,
it's
garbage.
Congress. They're allowing
it's
this
exactly
to happen.
Exactly what it is.
They're like, oh, yeah, but this is what I want, right?
And,
so I'm going to go along with
you
this time. Well, what you don't realize is that you're diluting your own power. And then, you know, you mentioned the tax authority, right, which is at, whatever's favorite, Robert's thing. Is that, it is allowable if it's a tax. How come no one is litigating this thing as a tax? I thought for sure, like, people are starting to pay the Obamacare tax now. I thought that it would be litigated as a tax. Why are they not litigating it as a tax? That's what I don't understand. People are just paying this and they're just putting up with it? It's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know that necessarily paying it, because, I mean, the fact is that, first of all, remember something. In order to I believe this thing was designed to fail in the first place because they want a single payer system. They want completely, totally corporatized government health care as opposed to any kind of market based thing. But besides the point, for the election, remember, you know, unilaterally, this is the illegal law that was passed, right? And Obama signed it, and then he realizes it's become a political liability, and even some of the Democrats like Baucus are calling it a coming train wreck, and they got 2014 coming up. So what does he do? He just unilaterally decides to disregard the law that he signed into law himself and pushed for, and delay the employer mandate because, you know, like UPS was dropping spousal coverage, Delta Airlines is talking about it's going to cost them $100 million to comply with this bullshit, and so it becomes a severe liability for Democrats,
well,
but the individual mandate goes forward October 1st. So basically what they basically said is, this is a liability for the big corporations and we got fundraising to do for the election, so we'll give them a pass until after the election, but fuck the people. The individuals still have to pay it.
But even that's a BS strategy because, you know, the whole thing is, oh, we'll just keep kicking the can down the road because, oh, we have a bunch of Democrats who are in vulnerable seats and they don't want to have this pile of crap legislation that we passed. They don't want to be accountable for it when they're up for re-election, so we'll kick it past the election. Okay, well, eventually it's going to have to happen, right? It's going to have to happen before or during some elections, so someone's going to be accountable. What are we going to do for the rest of the history of the Republic? Keep kicking this pile of crap down the road every 2 years? Like, oh, yeah. You know, how good is that going to be for the economy? It's a massive drag on the economy because nobody knows when it's going to be implemented. Nobody knows what's in it. And everybody knows it's going to be universally bad for their business and their overhead.
Yep.
And so they're not hiring. Yep. They're hiring part-time jobs so they can get around it. And so it's like, this only affects you if your corporation has more than 50 people. Okay, great. So now guess what? I have a holding company that owns five other companies that each employ 49 fucking people.
Exactly.
Right?
Or you hire people
great.
For 35
yeah,
hours a week instead
part-time.
Of 40.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody's part-time, and I've got 9 million bajillion holding companies. What's the overhead on managing a company like that? Now you're managing all your freaking sub-holding units rather than managing your own business. You're managing around this horrible government regulation. This is great. You know, I mean,
technocrats and government lifers just don't understand what it is to run a business. They don't understand what it is to actually do an honest day's work. And so for them, it's all abstract concepts that they read about in some book called Das Kapital. You know, I mean, that's the kind of crap that these Keynesians envision. Everything is arithmetic, everything is technocratic, and it fits on a nice little, you know, econometric model. But that's not how the real world works. And that's what they don't understand. And whether it's unintended consequences because their concepts were too utopian or intended consequences because they want these draconian measures in order to control your lives, either way, I don't care. It doesn't work. And if you're a liberal and you think, well, but we need to take care of the uninsured, no one's arguing with you. But this is not the way to do it. And if you're a totally free market person, you want the free market to answer for this, well, that doesn't mean that you're a cold-hearted son of a bitch who doesn't care about people. You just think that the free market is the best way to get the optimal delivery systems for what people actually need, where the producers and the providers meet the consumer right where they want to be and tailor something that works.
Well, exactly. Defund the IRS agents that will go enforce whether or not people are actually paying into the thing. Just don't create the position. Why empower the IRS anyway? You already know what they do. They're going to go, oh, yeah, okay, well, so now they're you know, going around and they're checking on Tea Party groups and they're denying them, you know, nonprofit status, right? Okay. And so they say, oh, well, these political groups, they should never have nonprofit status to begin with. And so it's totally okay that they were going through and checking on that. Yeah, but liberal groups have the nonprofit status. So if we're going to have like a blanket, political groups do not get nonprofit status, including you, MoveOn.org, and all these other things, then yeah, okay, that's fine. But it's not fine what they were doing because they were not equally applying the law. They were going out and discriminating based on political reasons against specific groups, right? So you don't want the IRS to do that. And I think the IRS, you ought to just get rid of the damn thing and just replace it with the sales tax and say we're going to have a sales tax and we'll never have an income tax again, right? Now you've got the positions to enforce Obamacare also in the IRS, which has already proven itself to be abusive in its application of authority, right? And the person that they were going to get tapped to do this was the same person to run Obamacare for the IRS. It's the same person who's going around and enforcing this stuff against conservative groups and not against liberal groups, right? So there, don't you think that you would have a basic prima facie case for, hey, let's just not fund the positions of the IRS to enforce this thing? And how about the leadership position? We don't create that one at the IRS, the one that this lady is going to apparently move into or was going to before, you know, her whole thing came, the wheels came off of that train, right? That position doesn't freaking exist. And no other position with a similar title or similar authority can be created at the Internal Revenue Service, right? And you just defund that. Okay, and so now all the rest of the stuff, I don't know, maybe go in. It's like, oh, yeah, but Obama would veto that. Well, so what? Make him own that, you know? But Boehner doesn't do that because Boehner's all for it. Well, I'm actually not for it, so I just don't see the use in fighting it. Well, yeah, that's because you're John Boehner and you suck and you're a moron. And you're also not going to be speaker anymore. So
well, besides,
piss off. Why do you even listen to this guy?
Well, I
anyway,
mean,
I don't think we do.
They're
not really listening, though. Yeah, I don't think we do either.
No, they're fried. They're fried. I mean, look, this douchebag goes in and has a, you know, little powwow with Obama, and then he and Cantor come out, and they're like, oh, suddenly I'm for the Syria war. You know, and they're always standing against him on you know, Obamacare is bad. We're going to have another, you know, the 467th vote to say we don't want it, knowing full well that, you know, we'll pass it and it'll get killed in Reid's Senate. I mean, you know, why are you wasting the time? Because you think that we're falling for your bullshit that you keep voting no on this thing, voting no on this thing, voting no on this thing. And then all of a sudden, Senator Ted Cruz from Texas says, hey, here's an idea. We got this continuing resolution coming up because Harry Reid is such a fucking idiot that he hasn't given a budget in God knows how long. So we got to do these continuing resolutions. Right now, we're so far extended. The only way that the government has, quote, been funded recently is by raping the G fund of the Thrift Savings Plan in order to float the money. It's an accounting gimmick in order to keep the money flowing until they get the continuing resolution, which they need by October 1st. And what Ted Cruz is saying is let's fund the government fully, every overblown aspect of it that there is right now, until we can roll this thing back, except for Obamacare. And that's what we're going to send over to Harry Reid. Harry Reid wants to kill it. That's fine. The president doesn't want to sign it or veto it. That's fine. That means that Harry Reid and Obama will shut the government down because they won't let go of this spearhead of the welfare warfare state that's their baby, that they've already had to exempt 6 million groups and agencies from, including themselves and Congress, and you just had 40,000 longshoremen quit the AFL-CIO because of this thing. So, you know, it's not working. So give it up and accept the continuing resolution without the $1 trillion of Obamacare, and we'll go forward.
Yeah, well, the problem is how much of the Republican caucus could you even get to vote for that? Hell, you got the John McCain and Lindsey Graham. They probably don't even support that at all. Turns out, you know, Mitch McConnell, he was endorsed by this Tea Party group. Turns out the Tea Party group is actually run by a registered Democrat who in, what was it, 2012 or 2010, I can't remember, but they had to, like, take the little loyalty oath, right? And they had a signed statement, I swear I'm a loyal Democrat, I support policies or whatever. Now they run a Tea Party group, a quote Tea Party group, endorsing Mitch McConnell. This Tea Party thing, man, is all screwed up, right? So there are actual people who believe in, you know, limited government and, you know, lowering government spending and a reduced role of the federal government in everybody's life. But they realize that, holy crap, that's the mainstream of where the American people are, right? So the American people tend to be overall very fairly libertarian, right? even on the left, you got a whole bunch of, because they're very concerned about, you know, sort of the growing police state and the loss of the Fourth Amendment with the Patriot Act, and they're also concerned about foreign wars. So they tend to be for limited government too, but in different areas, right? So most Americans tend to be fairly libertarian. I don't want government telling me what to do, right? So at the Tea Party movement, like, oh my God, it's like a lot of people think this, so we got to go infiltrate this movement and turn into what we want it to be. And now the Tea Party supports this, and then we can go demonize it by putting our own people in charge of it to go say outrageous things. Then we go, oh my God, how could somebody say that? How can you defend that? You know? And then you're stuck there trying to defend this movement that's been completely hijacked by something else. The thing is, who gives a crap about the Tea Party? I don't even know what that is, right? What I do care about are certain principles and certain governing principles, and those principles are limited government, lower taxes, reduced role of the federal government, stick to the freaking enumerated powers,
and get the hell out of
it. Well, that's a novel idea. Imagine that. What if we tried that for once? Haven't tried it in 100 years. Maybe if we, you know what? Even if you're against it in principle, let's just try it. It can't possibly be worse than what's going on right now. You know, let's give it a shot. But let's backtrack a little bit here, because there's a lot to cover, and there's a lot of history behind how we got here, a lot of history about why this is a good move. It's way beyond tax. This is so beyond health care. This is so beyond health insurance. This is so beyond the continuing resolution. This is the time right now between what's going on in Syria and what the fact that you've got this wide swath of people in America, at least 80% are like, we don't want to do this. And then you got these Democrats and Republicans that are breaking along the politically expedient who want to go with the popular will. You're going along the warmongers, the neocons who are just committed to blowing shit up no matter what. And then those that are actually principled and are saying, whoa, 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 and it's breaking party lines. It's fantastic. Couple that with this thing. This debacle of a alleged health care plan, and you've got a moment in history right now, and it's horrible, and things are going to get worse. There's no doubt about that, and we're definitely going to blow up Syria. But this moment right now where the lie is being revealed and the empire is naked, the emperor has no clothes, Americans are waking up, and now is the time for us to get a grassroots tsunami of principled liberals, libertarians, constitutionalists, conservatives and Republicans, and even Democrats, to push the true constitutionalists on the Hill to the position of dominance over and against the neocons, the statists, and the technocrats. It's a great opportunity. And the focus of this effort is don't fund it. Get on Twitter, hashtag don't fund it. Go to the website right now. Sign it, and then I want you to tell 10 people before the top of the hour to go there and sign it. Hit them on Facebook, on Twitter, give them a phone call, send them an email. Go to www.don'tfundit.com. It's a really good site put together by Ted Cruz and Mike Lee. Right now it's a little over 1.1 million. This is just in like 2 weeks. 1.1 million people have signed it. We got to get this to 3 million. There's a countdown clock on there. Right now it reads 25 days, 1 hour, 26 minutes. That's until the continuing resolution vote and the Obamacare coming online. That's how, it's not a lot of time. That's why we're bringing you these special shows on Thursdays. Tex and I don't have time to be doing an extra show a week. It's a lot of work. We don't get paid for it. In fact, it costs us money. But we're bringing you these shows on Thursdays because this is an important thing. And if you don't share this show, if you don't get it out there, if you don't tell people to go to this petition, then this is just bloviating and talking. We've got to take action. There's not a lot of time, and it's very important, and we're going to tell you why this is so much more than healthcare. But go there right now, and actually what I'm going to do, Tex, I'm going to go ahead and bring on our regular special guest from Coalition of Freedom on Facebook, and then we're going to actually listen to Ted Cruz explain what this initiative is about. Okay, so here is Chris, you're live with Tex and Rex.
Gentlemen. Oh, my God.
Chris.
Hey, buddy. Whoa, man. Everything's upside down and sideways. Yeah.
Yep.
So play your video, and we'll roll from there.
All right. You want to real quick, though, before, because I don't want to spend too much time on Sunday's topics, but you got any points you want to throw out there regarding G20 or Syria?
in a short form.
It's
a flippant mess. And you know, Obama, G20 is actually a very important international event. You know, top 20 markets in the world coming together. Russia is the president of it this year. And they also have the Winter Olympics this year. And they're also the head of the Security Council this year. So it just seems like everything is just nonstop trying to disqualify, discredit, make Russia look bad. And the more these neocon liberal progressives go after Russia, the better and more sane they look. I've been following the G20 from the initial opening and trying to catch, you know, they don't have a live feed like we do, you know, like a C-SPAN feed. So it's kind of having to, you know, give and take and watch some of the different events. But, you know, their bottom line, and I think most of America gets it. Well, I don't know about Americans. I really don't anymore. But I know the rest of the world gets it. Nobody believes it was Assad. And why, you know, and it's like Putin said in his interview, why in the hell would a guy who's winning do something he knows puts him in the spotlight and the potential for being invaded, attacked, or on the world stage? It's just the stupidest stuff in the world. It's been proven before that the rebels have used the gas. You know, there's no proof. They're playing games,
Chris,
watching the news. It's insane.
Chris, much has been made about the fact that one of these rebel groups is like Al-Qaeda affiliated, right? And
yeah.
So much so that, we're being at the Al-Qaeda's airport. What's to say Al-Qaeda didn't use the freaking chemical weapons, right? Because we already know that they were testing chemical weapons. Remember when we went to Afghanistan and they showed the puppies dying and the little thing, right? So we know they used chemical weapons. Would say they didn't use them to draw the U.S. in because they're like, hey, we want a rematch. We want to try to kill you fools again, right? Why did Obama say that, if you use chemical weapons in Syria, it's going to be a red line for me. I'm totally going to get involved in it. Why would he do that? What does he have to say about what's going on in, like, Mozambique? Oh, yeah, well, if in Mozambique they use that, I'm totally, you know, that's it. I'm not putting up with that. Now, why are you pronouncing what you would do in various conflicts around the world unless you already had a pre-existing interest in getting involved? It seems kind of...
Well, crazy. And look at the timing. Look at the timing of it. You know, right before G20, right back at the debt ceiling discussion, right? You know, everything's coming ahead. And he pulls this smelly rabbit out of the hat and throws it out there and gets the media, you know, to cover it 24/7. And none of them ask the tough questions. You know, it's like I say, you have to go to international news to get an actual balanced conversation on anything going on in this world. And what's sad is the part that really flames me is the Republicans that have jumped on board with it because, you know, they're not happy until they finish taking us to World War III, you know, and that's the sad part because it just makes them look stupid again. Yeah, one of them. You know, it just makes them look stupid right before a freaking election. All they had to do was bond together and go, yeah, you know, this is a game. He's playing us again. Everybody get together, have a little powwow. Here's what you say to the press, and here's how you answer those questions, and just shut it down. Because right now, the latest thing that I just saw, because I've been tracking, you know, I've been tracking Syria pretty, you know, more than I ever wanted to. But now we got Chinese warships in there. Like going, are you flipping dishes like the frickin' Bay of Pigs all over again? I mean, we got Russian ships. We got Chinese ships. You know, we got Iran. We got, Iraq. You know, I mean, we're like going, are you guys flipping kidding me? Nobody wants to play with Obama on this one. The Brits voted it down. You know, Turkey's going, yeah. Saudi's going, yeah. Qatar, they want their gas line through there. It's that simple. You know, it's not about life.
Well, how much you want, we'll pay you to go get involved in this polycrap. And the only reason France is interested is that's their former colony back in the day, about 100 years ago. They own that thing. And so, like,
it's,
you know, I mean, you know how empires and kingdoms are. Like, well, we got to show some ankle to maintain our claim so we can exercise it 250 years in the future, right? I mean, look how long the Hundred Years' War went on, right? They always say, oh, yeah, well, we claim title to that chiefdom in the middle of freaking nowhere. And you always got to exercise your claim. That's why Holland is like, oh, yeah, we totally support it because it's their old colony.
Well, you know what's interesting? What's interesting about this, and I don't ever hear anybody talk about this, but show me one successful intervention in the Middle East since 9/11. Show me one successful plan, and they have nothing, and they discount that in the news. You know, whether
yep.
it was Iraq or Afghanistan or Tunisia or Yemen or.
Well, it depends on what you mean by successful. If you're talking about toppling secular regimes and setting up Muslim jihadi regimes, then it's being extremely successful. If you're talking about actually having some sanity and stability and semblance and liberty for the people, well, no, it's a complete and utter failure. But what you
yeah,
guys
I
are talking
a,
about,
yeah,
good.
Well,
I mean, but
no,
well,
and how about protecting individual religions?
No, we can't have that.
But
we have to have a dominant state. We have to have a dominant state religion, and everybody else has to be under their boot. That's how it works. So Assad was keeping everybody, free on that point. You know, the Alawites, the Sunnis, the Shia, the Christians, the Orthodox,
Christians.
The Catholics, the Druze. Everybody got to do their thing, and there wasn't any problem. But see, we can't have that. We got to quash it. It has to be like Saudi Arabia, where if you're not, a Wahhabi Muslim, you're going to get your head chopped off if you do anything in public. You know, if you're a Filipino
public
delegation visiting one of their hotels and you happen to celebrate a Catholic mass in a hotel, people get arrested. You know, that's not kosher stuff. But what you guys are talking about, all this chaos that's going on, which we're going to talk about on Sunday. So everybody out there, listen, tune into our regular showtime, Sunday, 10 p.m. We're going to have this discussion about G20 in Syria because that's an important topic. But right now, what this is showing you is that all this chaos is occurring because they need to distract you with foreign conflicts and adventures in order to prop up their tyranny at home. This is true for the Saudis, it's true for the Israelis, it's true for the Egyptians, it's true for the Americans, it's true for the British, it's true for the French, it's true for everybody. Statists and bureaucratic technocrats need you to be focused on us versus them while they're putting the boot around your neck at home. It's the welfare warfare state strategy that was highlighted by Orwell in 1984.
Yeah.
You know, Oceania was always at war with either East Asia or Eurasia so that the people would focus their 2 minutes of hate on whoever they were at war with to forget about the fact that they were slaves at home on Airstrip 1.
Well,
that's
there's
exactly
no recovery. And there's no recovery. That's the problem.
Right.
When you look at the Western world, you know, whether it be the UN, the EU or America, and you look at, and this gets into a whole, we'll get into this at another time, but you look at what's going on with China and Russia, the BRICS nations, they're forming a bank. I mean, there's all these dynamic changes going on around the world, and our empire is crumbling. And they always seems, and Tex is the Roman expert, but it always seems that they just, it's another war will solve the problem, another war, because that's a big chunk of our economy. And we don't have the money, and we don't have the international right to do this. We are not, the UN Council said no intervention. We don't have the proof. Leave it alone. And the U.S. is trying to jump up and circumnavigate, this position that they always sell about, international law. And they're going to walk all over the top of it. I mean, this is not good for us long term. This is going to hurt relationships across the world, or even
it's going to hurt short term.
Anyway,
long term, it's going to hurt even
mine.
More. All right,
I didn't mean
perfect.
To go off, but you asked.
No, no.
But you asked.
No,
I
needed you to purge that out so that we can focus up. Tex, you got anything you want to throw out there before we listen to Ted?
Yeah, way way too much, and so we'll just save that for later.
All right.
But, yeah, we'll save that for the show more on Syria.
Sounds good. Everybody remember, Tex and Rex are back with Chris live Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tune in. Right now, here's about 3.5 minutes. This is Senator Ted Cruz speaking about the don't fund it. And I want you to get on Twitter right now, tweet out this show. I want you to tweet out www.don'tfundit.com right now. Get on Twitter, get on Facebook, send this information out there right now. It's hashtag don't fund it. Here's Ted Cruz.
We've heard lots of speeches about Obamacare. We've had lots of votes about Obamacare, none of which had any chance of passage.
I think the top priority of every elected official, Republican or Democrat, should be restoring economic growth. And nothing is hurting economic growth more than Obamacare. Look, there is bipartisan consensus. This bill isn't working. The lead Senate author of Obamacare, Democrat Max Baucus, described it as a, quote, huge train wreck.
Now is the single best time and best opportunity to defeat Obamacare.
This legislation is failing, and it's hurting the American people. If you look at jobs, there is no legislation currently in effect that is damaging the economy more or damaging jobs more than Obamacare. President Obama, in moving the employer mandate for big corporations till after the next election, number one, it's a heck of an admission that this law isn't working, because if it were good, he'd want it to kick in before the next election. But number two, there's nothing in the law that gives him the power to do that. This is right now, on the continuing resolution, our best opportunity, and it may well be our last opportunity, to defund it.
With the continuing resolution, we have a leverage point, I believe, if Republicans stand together to actually win this fight. Number two, this is a fight we can win. This will be the hardest fight we have this year, which is unsurprising because it's the most important fight we have this year.
If we can get 41 Republicans in the Senate to stand together, or 218 Republicans in the House to stand together, we can successfully defund Obamacare on September 30th. I think the first step should be the House of Representatives should pass a continuing resolution that funds the entirety of the federal government, except for Obamacare, and that explicitly prohibits spending money on Obamacare. The next step is that would go over to the Senate, and we know how this game plays out. We've seen it before. Harry Reid and President Obama would scream and yell, those mean, nasty Republicans are threatening to shut down the government. And at that point, we've got to stand up and fight and win the argument. We've got to make the case and say, no, we have voted to fund the federal government. We want to fund the federal government. Why is President Obama willing to grant a waiver for giant corporations, but not for hardworking American families?
Why is Barack Obama threatening to shut down the federal government because he wants to force Obamacare down the American people's throats? And number three, only the American people can win this fight.
When the grassroots get engaged, when we demand of our elected officials they do the right thing, where we make it more risky to do the wrong thing than it is to do the right thing, that's how we've won fights in the past, whether it's on drones or guns, and that's how we're going to win this fight on defunding Obamacare. The only way this will happen is if hundreds of thousands or millions of Americans tell their elected officials, tell Republicans,
stand for principle. This isn't working. It's destroying the economy. It's hurting jobs. It's destroying health care. It's driving up our premiums. Defund it. If the American people rise up and hold our elected officials accountable, and the people should hold every one of us accountable, including me, that's how we win this fight.
That's how we win this fight. Sounding very Gingrich-esque, I would say. Ted Cruz can teach every Republican, conservative or not, about messaging and getting the word out. That was succinct and it was simple,
yes.
And you heard him call you. He called you. He said hundreds of thousands, millions of Americans calling, emailing, tweeting, Facebooking, visiting their congresspeople. 1.1 million have signed the petition. Get 10 people before the top of the hour to sign this petition. It is up to you. Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Trey Gowdy, Justin Amash, these guys are up there working their ass off against a pressure cooker that has the power of the corporations, the Federal Reserve, Obama, who takes responsibility for nothing, and the media still provides him fucking cover for it. Even the left-stream anti-war media is still providing him with cover. That's the pressure that they are facing up there. You got Jihad Jane McCain, Lindsey Graham, John Crying Tan, Useless Beef Jerky, Boehner, Eric Cantor, Paul Mini-Mitt Ryan. All these bastards are not conservative Republicans. These guys are pushing this thing. They want Obamacare. They want the welfare warfare state. They want to blow the shit out of Syria while they sneak in all this other stuff while you're focused on, you know, what's going on with Bashar Assad and Putin and the posturing. They're going to give you an amnesty bill. They're going to give you a massive trillion-dollar debt-laden continuing resolution. They're going to pass Obamacare, put it online. There's a lot of the NSA scandals, the Snowden thing, the IRS. All of this stuff is still going on. Benghazi, none of it has gone away. But all we talk about is Syria, a country that has no interest, vital interest for us, a country that has absolutely nothing to do with us, hasn't threatened us, hasn't blown up anything, even if gas was used by the Assad regime, which is still not proven and probably highly implausible and illogical. It's got nothing to do with us. This is a distraction so that this statist legislative agenda can go through. This is the spearhead. This is the point that you have to get on, and this is what you have to do. Now, when I said he sounded Gingrich-esque, it's because he made the message clear, and he was fighting. He was fighting. Now, some of you out there, you know, you don't like Newt. Look again. There's a lot to learn from what Newt did and how he did it back in the 90s before the shitbag Republicans like John Boehner ousted him. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about why this is important. Now, what the pussy rhinos will tell you, and Texan Rex, Texan Chris, I want you to comment on this. What the pussy rhinos will tell you is that, you know, if the government shuts down, it'll be bad for us. We'll be blamed for it. Americans don't want it, and it'll be a debacle. Well, that's not true. That's not what happened in 95. Only the media nope. played it that way. The American people didn't. And right now, the American people trust their government less than they did in 95. Remember, Bill Clinton was liked. We had money. There was peace. We weren't involved in 6 million wars. I mean, he got us into Kosovo at some point. Yeah. But things were pretty good, and people were not upset with their government. Now, from the left to the right, and everywhere in between, from Occupy to the Tea Party, okay, you're being spied on by the NSA. The IRS is hassling you. One out of four people doesn't have a job. People don't trust this. So what do they come out with? We have high confidence that chemical weapons were used, and so we have to blow the shit out of Syria. In the meantime, we're going to pass all this crap at home that's going to ruin your life, but we don't want you to pay attention to it. Just focus on Syria. You know, so comment on Ted Cruz. We'll go to Tex first and then Chris.
Well, Rex, we got a government shutdown coming up already. It's going to come up on Saturday and Sunday. He's shut down for like 2 days. I think we could all survive. We got lots of government shutdowns every week. Like, and the world doesn't come to an end. It's not, I mean, everybody's worried about this stuff. Look, I used to work for the government. You know, we also went on holidays. I don't know if you guys know that. We actually had a lot of holidays. We're often on holidays. And then we had AWS, alternate working schedule. Like, people were off. You did your AWS, right? There was, you could get one day off every other week, and then there was like 10-4, right, where you worked 10 hours a day. Then you got a day off every week, so you worked 10 hours a day for 4 days a week, right? So the government's basically running on like a four-day schedule for quite a while. Nobody seems to notice, you know. It's not the end of the world. You know, it's all bullshit about the government shutdown, because what they do is, you know, look, when I worked there, they're like, you know, my boss said, oh, if they ever try to cut the budget, you just go tell them the Washington Monument's going to fall down if they cut your budget, right? Well, why? Like, we got all these people here. Half of them don't freaking do anything, right? We could run this area better with less money, right? And in the private sector, you know what they would do if you had, like, a manager who came in and he got your mission done better with less money? They would promote the hell out of that guy. Like, holy crap, look at all the money he's saved us. Now we can repatriate this back to, like, our shareholders. We can invest into factories or whatever, expand our business, right? But in government, that's the worst thing, because government's about the Iron Rice Bowl, about having a bigger budget, more employees. And look how many people I need to hire and how big my budget has to be to do my important job. That's how important it is. It costs over $500 billion for me to run my department. Because that's how bad I suck, because I don't know anything about efficiency, right? You know, and so this is why the federal government, they need to have, Congress needs to go in and just have a bill, a law that says, look, every government agency has to have a contingency plan for a 5% reduction, real reduction, not cut in the growth, a 5% reduction in your annual budget, a 10% reduction in your annual budget, and like a 15% and a 25% reduction. Standing that's already been approved, and not BS like you cut out Yellowstone or you cut out, you know, whatever, where you just, you have programs that just no longer make any sense, right? And you got that standing and sitting there. And you know why they'll never do it? Because then they're like, well, why don't we just go ahead and cut that now? I don't know. That's a good question. Why don't you go ahead and cut that now? That will be the question. But they should have contingency plans for all of that stuff because this, you know, burgeoning federal government is bankrupting the country, which gets back to paying your fair share, this bogus argument. Oh, you're not paying your fair share. Well, that's because the budget goes up every damn year, right? Because you have baseline budget. So every year it goes up. Like, oh, yeah, well, rich people don't pay enough taxes, so have a deficit, right? So we're going to raise taxes. But they never raise enough to close the damn deficit, right? That year, there's still a deficit that year because, you know, the bankers don't actually want you to pay this off because the U.S. government's their greatest customer, right? Because they sell debt. The U.S. government is great for debt. And if the government can't sell its debt, that's okay. They'll show up at your house and take all your shit, right? So, you know, you'll never get the budget, you know, the deficit paid off. But then next year, the budget increases again, and now people aren't paying their fair share. So you're just drowning every year. You know, it's like you're swimming out at sea every year. The water level just gets a little higher, a little higher, a little higher, a little higher. And Washington's always growing, and you're always asked to pay your fair share. And they're never asked to cut anything. And if you do cut it, they cut anything that you actually value. It's nonsensical. And Washington puts up with it, and we allow Washington to put up with it because we put these people there, and we put no freaking demands on them. Nobody's monitoring them. At these town halls are like, oh, yeah, somebody yelled at people, whatever, you know. But, you know, this guy's paying, you know, for my reelection here. He's going to get shoot me, like, $5,000. Was it Nikki Haley sold out to Mitt Romney for $5,000 or whatever? I mean, High Price War actually charges more for that. But, you know, they sell out for, like, pennies on the dollar. Oh, this guy shot me, like, $3,000 to my reelection campaign. So whatever, screw all my constituents. I can stand there for an hour and have people yell at me. And I can pretend to emote, listen, like, oh, yeah, actually, I really care about you, so-and-so, who I've never met before and will probably never see again. Write me a letter. Talk to somebody in my office. And now piss off because the meeting's over and I'll never see you. That's how we run our government. And it happens that way because we allow that to happen.
That was pretty dark.
Well, that's all reality, my friend.
I know. Well, I have flashbacks, you know, living in the state capital in Alaska, small town, you know, less than 30,000 people. You're pretty close to politics, you know, when you live in a, you know, first of all, the state of Alaska doesn't have a large population to begin with. And when you live in a state capital with that few of people, you see a lot of things. You watch departments form, you know, with 20 people and a $1 million budget. And then next thing you know, 10 years later, you know, it's got 1,000 people and a $50 million budget, and nobody knows what they do. I mean, you know, I experienced that. I mean, 80% of all of the people, and it's probably what you guys experienced in Washington, D.C., I just experienced it on a microcosm, you know, 80% of everybody in that damn town was either a state worker, a city worker, or a federal worker, or some kind of bleed off, you know, from that money, you know. So it was
that was Washington, D.C. under Marion Barry. Everybody lived in Washington, D.C. was a city employee, and the city had no money. Yeah.
Yeah.
How can you pay everyone to be a leech? Who's paying into the system if everyone's a leech?
Well, and the difference with Alaska is we had oil, and they had written into the Constitution when they turned the valves on the pipeline that those politicians could not get their hands on that money. They could only build their budget off of a percentage of the profits earned off the oil revenue. So they were constrained by the guys who wrote the laws, and they can't. And it takes such a supermajority to change it. They'll never be able to change it unless you get enough Democrats up there. And so what happens is there, even though it's an oil-rich state, you know, and minerals and everything else, but what happens is they can't get their hands on that money. And you look at that mechanism that forces them to be contained in their revenues. Somebody figured it out. Well, it's a newer state, for one, so they had a chance to look at the rest of the country. But, you know, you could look at the state of Alaska and go, well, there's how you solve the problem. But that's the problem with the federal government and other states, like where I live in Washington State, is they just spend and spend and spend and spend, and they get a rainy day fund. You know, they work hard and they get some revenues up because of business and growth. You know, we had all the dot-com, you know, explosion, Microsoft, everything else, and Boeing and all that. And then and next thing you know, they get in there and they get greedy and they spend more. Everybody becomes dependent on that system. And I really believe that both on the left and the right, that we have people who are afraid to solve the problem because so much of our economy is now reliant on trickle-down of federal dollars. And it's so far beyond anything I ever thought this country – I mean, I always knew we were stupid, you know, and politicians were stupid. But when you look at what's going on right now with, you know, immigration, I mean, what an insane freaking thing to do. Obamacare, what an insane freaking thing to do. I mean, did anybody think we were going to be in Iran, Iraq for 10, 12 years? I mean,
yes,
Iraq and Afghanistan. You know what I mean? It was like, I mean, we were supposed to go kick the enemy's ass and then come home. And a dozen, we're still in Afghanistan losing soldiers and money, and nobody's freaking solving any problems. And now we're getting ready to do it again. And you're like going, these people are insane.
Well,
nobody,
Chris, you're right.
I mean,
they're
five,
not insane.
Six, seven
just
people.
They're getting paid well, with your money. I mean, it actually makes practical sense for them because essentially they're like, oh, I'm making money left and right on this thing. Sure, I'll go. Oh,
look,
well, we'll just lob some cruise missiles at Syria. Oh no, it's actually we kicked a hornet's nest there. Now you know Syria's screwing around with Israel, and now Iran's doing so. Oh, we need boots on the ground. Well, that's okay. We'll just send. You know, we get all these other people, you know, who poor or whatever, who've enlisted because they have no other future because we robbed them of a job because we basically been printing money left and right and deficit spending. So now they got no fucking hope. So we'll go pick these poor sons of bitches up and we'll put them on planes and we'll fly them out there and, you know, they'll go shoot at the Syrians and maybe get killed and whatever. And then we don't have to pay the Social Security. So it's awesome, you know. And then I'm still getting paid at the end of the day. So this is great, you know. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the system if you're completely craven and venal. The problem is we have politicians who are completely craven and venal.
Well, Tex, I mean, what you're saying is, I mean, look, the fact is that Pat Buchanan asked this in his, you know, he was talking about why we're doing Syria, qui bono, in Latin, who benefits. And you're right, they're getting paid. And the other thing is that you have to keep in mind, Chris, they don't want to solve problems. They create problems in order to sell you solutions that cause more problems so that they can keep selling you more solutions. That's the problem.
That's why you need a politician. It's so complicated.
Vote for me.
You need a politician to fix it for you. He'll fix it real good.
Exactly.
So you got to come back to him.
And they build a constituency based on dependency. And you mentioned it, you know, that this trickle-down dependency.
Yes.
Well, look at the way that they phased in this patient protection and so-called Affordable Care Act. They give you all the goodies up front, you know, the free physicals and this and that and this benefit and that benefit, and get you hooked on all that sugar before the taxes kick in to pay for it. Because once you get someone dependent, it's just like a drug dealer. They get you dependent on all this free shit that you didn't earn and you get used to and it's comfortable and you like it, and then they hit you with the bill. And that's where the problem comes in. It's all about fleecing you, and that's the real issue. Now, look, guys, we got like an hour left. It's so much to cover. I know
we're
going to
have
at least three more of these shows. But right now, everybody listening, I want you to share this show. You've got to get it out there. You got to get it out there, not just now so the people listen live. You got to get the archive and the podcast out there. This information has to get into people's minds and hands right now. And you got to go to – don't keep preaching to the choir, okay? It's good to confirm the brethren. It's good to converse with each other. It's good for us to support each other, make sure our ideas actually make sense and then put them to the test. But you've got to reach out to those low-informed, low-active people. They're in your life. You know them. Get them active. Now's the time. We got 25 days. We need people to do this. And I want everybody who's on Twitter right now, hashtag don't fund it. And send out the site. Go to the site, sign it, get 10 more people to sign it again this hour. You did it last hour. I want you to do it again right now. There's a little over 1.1 million people that signed it. We got to get to 3 million before Sunday. Before Sunday night, we got to get to 3 million people. That's a lot of work, but we can do it. It's a grassroots tsunami that Ted Cruz called for. Send him air support, okay? Instead of worrying about the fact that Jihad Jane McCain and Barack Obama want to turn our military into Al-Qaeda's air force, you send in air support to Ted Cruz. Go to www.don'tfundit.com right now. Sign the petition. Put it on your Facebook page. Tweet it out and send everybody in your address book the email right now. Do it right now. Don't even waste time. All right, let's get to it. Now, guys, this thing is not about health care. That's what people are confused about. Okay, and we're going to talk about this in the upcoming shows, possibly next Thursday, but everybody needs to understand that health care is taking care of your health. Medical care is the medicine that takes care of your health when you become unhealthy. So what is healthcare? Healthcare is eating right, which means don't eat that crap that Monsanto makes. It means exercising. It means taking care of yourself with proper hygiene and brushing your teeth and all that good stuff. That's healthcare. That's your responsibility. But no matter how good you take care of your health, eventually, unless you die first, you will get sick. And that's where medical care comes in. That's where you need medicine. That's where you need nursing. That's where you might need some prescriptions. That's where you might need some procedures, maybe some surgery. That's when it is important. And in the Soviet Union, what they used to do when they were trying to foment the revolution, one of the first things they would do when they go into a town is they would kill the physician. They would kill the physician. Why would they do that? Why would they? Because remember that the communist revolution wasn't a populist revolution. It was a Western banker-financed small minority movement. They had to convince the people to go for full-on communism. The way they did that, they would come into the town, they would kill the physician, because what does the physician do? The physician takes away your pain. If you kill the physician, the people will feel pain. And when people feel pain, they look for resolution. And then you come in and you say, communism is the answer to your pain. That's what this is about. You got to understand that. The other thing is insurance has nothing to do with your health. Your health will not be changed one way or the other whether you do or don't have insurance, just the same way that driving a car, whether you have a car insurance policy or you don't, doesn't change the way you drive your car. Insurance is merely a transfer of risk. It is a funding mechanism. So when we talk about all this stuff, they confuse everything. They mix up health and medicine and insurance, and that's what this thing is. It's a mess of that. These are separate things. They're related, but they're separate. And the distinct thing you have to understand is you can take care of your health without medicine and without insurance. And if you need medicine, you can take care of it without insurance because you can pay for it directly. If you can't afford it, it's quite possible that somebody else will charitably pay for it for you, or maybe even the medical provider might do it out of the goodness of their heart. Oh, no, Rex, who would do that? Well, Rand Paul, for example. Remember, Senator Rand Paul is actually Dr. Rand Paul, an ophthalmologist, who actually provides people with eye surgery free of charge, you can't afford it, when he has time, and he's not out there fighting for your liberty and filibustering for 13 hours to make sure you don't get friggin' droned. He provides people with eye surgery who can't afford it free of charge. Doctors Without Borders. These are well-funded, successful Western physicians, for the most part, who will go to third world countries where there's a shortage of doctors or no doctors, and they will take care of those people out of the goodness of their heart free of charge. This bill is going to saddle these people with such a burden, this law, that they can't do those kinds of things. Okay? Insurance is merely a way of transferring the risk. Now think about this. If your drug costs you $10, that's the retail price, you could probably afford that. Even if you're not too well off, that's reasonable. But if they bid up the price and devalue the dollar, and that drug now costs $450, you can't afford it. But here comes your insurance and says, you only got to pay a $10 copay, so you want the insurance. But it has nothing to do with the drug. That's a funding mechanism. They've conflated all these things to mess you up. And it's socialized, nationalized, corporatized, whatever the hell you want to call it. What we're going to do right now, guys, and we'll come back and listen on the other side of this, is we are going to listen to another doctor. This is not Rand Paul. This is Dr. Ron Paul. And we're going to listen to him talk about this corporatized medicine and how we got into this mess, because the fact is that it's It's really horrible, and you need to listen to people who know what they're talking about. He's a physician that understands this. It's about 4 minutes long. Now, for those of you who love Ron Paul, you're going to pay attention. It's going to make sense. For those of you who don't like Ron Paul so much, pay attention. The man knows what he's talking about. He was in the Air Force. He's a physician. He was in Congress for 30 years fighting for liberty. You don't have to agree with everything he says, but on this issue, pay close attention because he lays it out quite well. Here's Dr. Ron Paul.
The ever-expanding role of government in healthcare provides an excellent example of Ludwig von Mises's warning that the middle of the road leads to socialism. Beginning in the 1940s, the government policies distorted the healthcare market, causing prices to rise and denying many Americans access to quality care. Congress reacted to these problems caused by their prior interventions with new interventions such as the HMO Act, ERISA, and EMTLA, and various federal entitlement programs. Each new federal intervention not only failed to fix the problems it was supposedly created to solve, it created new problems, leading to calls for even more new federal interventions. This process culminated in 2010 when the Congress passed Obamacare. Contrary to the claims of some of its opponents, Obamacare is not socialized medicine, it is corporatized medicine. After all, the central feature of Obamacare is the mandate that all Americans buy health insurance from private health insurance companies. And as with previous government interventions in the marketplace, Obamacare is not only failing to correct the problems caused by prior federal laws, it is creating new problems. Consider the almost weekly stories about how Obamacare is causing health insurance premiums to rise, causing employees to lay off workers or reduce their workers' hours, and causing doctors to leave the profession. Also, consider the problems the administration is already having administering the federal exchanges and other parts of the health care law. I fully expect the implosion of Obamacare to continue, and the supporters of nationalized health care to use Obamacare's failures to push for a Canadian-styled single-payer health care system. Unfortunately, some Obamacare opponents fail to see that the problem is not just Obamacare, but all government interference with health care. These Obamacare opponents advocate replacing Obamacare with Obamacare Lite. But economic law teaches us that Obamacare Lite will be no more successful than Obamacare. In order to win the battle for health freedom, those who oppose national health care must have the courage to advocate a complete free market in health care. Enhanced individual tax credits and enhanced use of health savings accounts are just two policies that could help restore a free market in health care by putting control over the health care dollar back in the hands of the people. A good place to start would be to repeal Obamacare's restrictions on HSAs. Long-term group insurance contracts could ensure that those with pre-existing conditions could obtain coverage. Under such a contract, individuals could pool resources to purchase a group policy that would cover any and all problems any member might develop over time. Businesses, churches, community organizations, and even fraternities and sororities could offer these types of contracts. Negative outcomes insurance, where patients waive the right to sue for medical errors in exchange for guaranteed payouts to those harmed, could reduce the burden of the malpractice litigation. Other free market health care reforms that could make the health care market more competitive and lower the cost of health care include allowing individuals to purchase insurance from across state lines, removing restrictions on physician-owned hospitals, and reducing the regulatory power of the Food and Drug Administration. Some will say it's unrealistic to advocate replacing Obamacare with a pure free market system, but in fact it is unrealistic to expect anything less than a true free market to provide quality care for Americans at all income levels. Continuing on the middle of the road in health care by mixing free markets with government spending and regulations will only continue to take us on the road to socialized health care.
It's the road to serfdom that Hayek talked about. This is the spearhead. Guys, we'll go to text first, and then Chris, what do you think about what Dr. Paul had to say there about corporatized medicine?
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, what markets are good at is markets will provide you with the highest quality good at the lowest possible price. That essentially is what a market mechanism is. Left its own devices, get the highest quality good at the lowest possible price. Now, that's not to say that market participants don't get together and try to collude on prices and do other things and, you know, oligopolies and all that kind of stuff. But a perfectly competitive price market is going to provide that, right? So a government system has no profit motive, has no incentive. The government only has your money. And government programs never are efficient because it's all about padding the accounts of the friends of the people who are in power. It always has been. It always will be. That's the problem with government, right? So government will promise you the world. In the meantime, in the back, you know, behind closed doors that you don't see, everyone's lining their own pockets. That's the problem with government, right? So it's not some panacea, right? So if the problem with healthcare is, and we all agree that it's too freaking expensive, plays with the market system. The market will fix that. It'll find the price that people are willing and able to pay, and it'll provide you the highest possible health care at that price because somebody else will find a better way to do it. And this goes back to what Mises was saying, is that during the boom period, longer ways of accomplishing the same ends get funded. The shortest way, meaning the most efficient process for providing the good or service that people want, is the most economic. So during the downtimes when the economy is bad, all the long cuts get cut out because they're not efficient, they're too expensive, and only the most lean ways of actually providing, the most efficient ways of providing that good or service is left to survive. And so if you think that healthcare is too freaking expensive, let the market take over. But people think what we had before Obamacare, what we have currently, which is some sort of non-quite-yet Obamacare, Frankenstein monster healthcare, is the free market, you're mistaken. That is a highly regulated market that's basically run by the insurance industry. That is not the healthcare system that we used to have. Like, oh, yeah, but look at all the great medical advances that we have. Consider all the great medical advances you would have had if you didn't have the government involved in screwing up the healthcare system all this time. We'd probably be way the hell more advanced than we are today medically. Government's not the problem. It's not the solution to your problem. It's the cause of the problem. And so what does government promise? Oh, yeah, we know we screwed that up, but this time we're not going to screw it up. And how do you know we're not going to screw it up this time? Because we're not even going to read the fucking bill this time. That's how good it's going to be. And they told you that, and people still think it's going to be better. Sorry, I'm a little jaded, a little bitter, but I don't know. Maybe that's too much truth for you, but that's what's happening. And so they created all the problems, and now they're going to solve it with this stupid thing, and they don't even know what it's done. So, yeah, that's going to help a lot.
Yeah, well, Tex, if you think that healthcare is expensive now, wait till it's free.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. Oh, yeah, it's free. It's free with your money, idiot. Thanks for your money. Now you can get free healthcare because, by the way, I'm charging like a 25% markup because I got to do something with your other 25% of your money to give you something for more money than you would have paid if I hadn't done this in the first place. And
Are you still there?
Yeah,
He was breaking up. You know, I keep getting this flashback, and I know you have mixed opinions of Milton Friedman, but of when he was doing that interview, and I need to dig it up and post it again, but when he was talking about the transition of free markets to corporatism, he said that if the government keeps sticking its nose into corporations, you know, trying to control everything, trying to regulate everything, you know, they control in what kind of taxes, you know, benefits, you know, you're getting write-offs and this and that and the other. He said government will lose and corporations will take over because they are the aggressive, creative force and they have all the money. So what we're living today is what he talked about. He saw America becoming where, if you think about it, And I remember this whole concept of and it's so amazing. It wasn't that long ago where a man or a woman would go to work for a corporation and spend most of their life in that company and retire, you know, and had good benefits and retirement and good health care. And then they would retire and have a pretty good lifestyle. Well, all of that was set up by the way government incentivized corporations with their tax write-offs. It was a way to feed into that company building system, and you could go back to, you know, post World War II when America was building its industrial might. And we built this system, but that system was incentivized through government. And so you had that interference in the marketplace. And when you look at healthcare or insurance and all these issues that we talk about, you know, that nobody asks the question, and it just drives me nuts. People on the right don't talk about it. They don't talk about, you know, what caused it, what the solution is. But when you have government not paying doctors to take care of the poorest among us, because it's terrible, you know, when you look at Medicaid or Medicare and the dollars on pennies on the dollar that they're getting for that care, you're going to get this chunk of people who are, and first of all, you have to look at the split of people who are uninsured. A lot of that's young people, okay, because if people are really poor, they got insurance, and you're paying for it, all right, and so a lot of it's young people. So what happens, or people in some of those fringe cases where you talk about, you know, pre-existing conditions, things like that, which can be taken care of in proper legislation, but not this freaking monster. But the thing that nobody wants to talk about in this whole healthcare issue, and Rex started kind of covered it a little bit, but 90% of our cost to our healthcare system in this country is the last 2 or 3 years of people's lives. You know, we live our whole life. People don't live healthy in this country. Look at the obesity. Look at the child obesity. Look at the, you know, child. Childhood diseases that typically you don't see until you're 50, 60 years old. I mean, this country is a glutton. We've become a glutton, and we're crashing the system. And you have the largest generation in the history of the world, all these baby boomers getting ready to retire. They're going to crash the system because now you're retiring in your 60s, and you're living in that high risk zone where you're going to have more debilitating diseases and put more of a stress on the healthcare costs. So and this is the part that just drives me nuts about liberals, how they look at people like Obama and the left as, you know, they care. They don't give a crap. What they're looking at is going, they look at the numbers going, there's this huge crash coming. Just like everything else, just like our debt cycle, our overextension and military action around the world, there's always a price to pay. It's always going to come to a head sooner or later. I mean, they've been printing money for years, so we don't think we've really felt it, even though those of us who study the economy, we know. We know that the dollar's worth about 2 cents, you know, and compared to what it used to be worth. But back to the healthcare thing. So they've got this huge portion of our society getting ready to retire that is going to crash the insurance healthcare system, you know, the whole dynamics of it. This thing that they've been putting off dealing with for decades is all coming to a head right now. And in the next 4 or 5 years,
game over, man. Game over.
It is going to crash. And you know when, and remember when Sarah Palin got beat up for the death panels? She was the only one that had enough guts to call it for what was going to happen, because that's what's going to happen. And it's already been proven, but nobody will talk about it in the news because the leftist media, I don't know if they're all stoned or what their problem is, but they think that there's some utopia that we can create, you know, in this society. They're insane. The people on the right, the Republicans, are scared. They're afraid.
To good intentions. What could possibly go wrong?
And the people on the right think that, we're not going to get elected again if we don't watch what we say. That's why guys like when Cruz or Paul or Amash or any of these guys stand up and they speak the truth, that they get so much, everybody's like, yeah! And I'm thinking, I don't know, that's just normal talk to me. You know, it's just common sense to me. It doesn't rile me up. I'm like going, this is how they all should be talking, because those are the people, if we don't elect more and more people like that, those are the people who will save this freaking country. Because the rest of them are flipping insane, whether it's war or immigration or things like Obamacare or raising the debt ceiling again and again and again. I mean, we bitch and moan all day long about China in this country while we borrow money from them and buy their goods.
Yep.
It's like, are you freaking people insane?
Well, Chris, I think what you have to do is, I mean, you know, you got to look at them like a criminal profiler. See, because what happens, this is how they get you. Most of us are normal, okay? We're not sociopaths. We're not psychopaths.
Well, you're not.
I'm not normal, okay? But we're not sociopaths. We're not psychopaths. And so we think in normal terms where, you know, you have an intention and then you do your best to bring that into fruition, okay? And so when they come out there and they say, you know, we want to provide health care for those who don't have it, well, I mean, you know, who's going to argue with that? I mean, other than, you know, the psychotic murderer, you're going to think, well, you know, yeah, of course, I want everybody to be healthy, and whatever we can do to help them be healthy, I want to do it. That's a great intention. But it might not actually be the intention that they have, because these are psychopaths. So what they are doing is they're setting you up for a fall. Then you go, oh, the plan's not working. But maybe it's working for them. Now, some of them are willing, you know, dupes. Some of them just go along to get along. But some of them have the intention of giving you a false expectation and then putting forward a plan that seems to fail according to that intention, but maybe their ulterior motive is being realized. You mentioned the aged, and you mentioned our sickness. Well, I agree with you. I mean, I think that when you lose your cultural moorings, and for all of you out there, whether you like it or not, whether you're a Christian believer or not, the cultural moorings of Western civilization and this country are rooted in Christianity. That's just a historical fact. Whether you're a believer or not is a separate issue. That's your personal relationship and your salvation. But just understand that historically, the cultural roots are in Christianity. And it was Christendom that invented the hospital system. It was Christendom that invented nursing. It was Christendom that developed physicians. So we owe that to that history. We are supposed to be temperate. We are supposed to take care of our bodies. Now, if you're a believer, it's because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're not, it's just simply so that you can feel good about your life. Either way, you got to take care of yourself. But eventually, you're going to break down. Eventually, you're going to get sick unless you die. And like Chris said, typically that happens for us later in life. Well, Sarah Palin made it very clear how the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act handles that. Death panels, rationing. Let's get rid of those old people who are the burden on the system. And that's a very dangerous thing to do. You don't toy around with that, because as soon as you start killing old people, then you start thinking, well, you know, these disabled people or these people with chronic health conditions, we're going to start denying them service. And we're not talking about putting people in gas chambers. They won't do that again. That's just going to engender way too much opposition. But how about just denying people services so that they just die? In the meantime, you got the second number two man at the FDA is a former Monsanto guy, and Monsanto is perverting all your food. So you're eating shit. You're eating high fructose corn syrup, which your body doesn't process the way it processes fructose and regular sugar. You're eating genetically modified corn and all this other crap, and it's making you sick. Why? The corporations. And, you know, Chris talked about the fact that the government incentivized corporations to do these things with providing health benefits, which is true. But it was the corporations themselves in the first place that got government to do that. And these corporations want clients. They want perpetual clients. So instead of making you better, instead of you taking care of yourself and being healthy, and when you need medical care, going to get the medical care and the physician, which they, by the way, most of them no longer take the Hippocratic Oath, which is first do no harm. Instead of the physician then working on helping you get better from a medical perspective, they turn you into a client by maintaining your sickness. Not so sick that you die, but sick enough that you keep coming back to pay the bills. This is what it's about. So as a culture, we're not taking care of ourselves, but we're also being incentivized not to, by the fact that they're cutting down on our normal food and environment, and they're providing us with this incentive to be a perpetual client of sickness. We have sick care in this country, and that's the fundamental problem. How do you fix it? Well, you fix it by not concentrating power, and this bill, this law, concentrates all the power of health, medicine, insurance, and funding in the federal government, as opposed to amongst free people engaging in voluntary trade in a free market. And if there's going to be some kind of state regulation, which I suspect that there has to be, you know, let's be realistic, I know you ANCAPs out there are going to be upset about this because you want the free market to decide everything, but let's face it, you're not going to realize that dream now, so make common cause with conservatives who want less regulation but some regulation. But if you put that regulation at the state level, now you got 50 experiments in what the best balance between free market and regulation is, and they can learn from the successes and the failures. You know, if Massachusetts wants to keep Romney Care and fail, every other state's going to go, well, that's a dumb idea. Let's not do that. If Texas wants to have absolutely no regulation and all of a sudden their health care costs go down and everybody in Texas is healthier, other states might go, well, that's actually a pretty good idea. Maybe we should try it that way. But Obamacare prevents that from happening because it consolidates everything in the center. And who's administering this fucking thing? The IRS.
Yep.
I mean, that alone should freak out every person from the far left to the far right. It's allegedly about your health. It's about medicine delivery, and it's about paying for it. And who's handling it? The tax power. The IRS. They've got four of these, what do they call them, ECSs, these or ESCs, these executive steering committees, and all this other bureaucracy and bullshit centered in the IRS. They've hired 16,000 enforcement agents. They've got I don't know how many rounds of ammunition, hollow point. And this is an organization that is right now plagued with being with targeting people based on their political or religious ideology. And you want them now to handle your health care? That's fucking nuts. I mean, I don't care where you fall on the political spectrum. There's no way in hell you can tell me it's a good fucking idea to have the IRS handle your medicine, your health, and how to pay for it. That's just crazy. But that's what this thing is. But they need that. It's part of the structure of the welfare warfare state. So what I want you to do right now, if you haven't already done it, and I want you to do it again, is I want you to go to www.don'tfundit.com. I want you to sign this petition. I want you to tweet it out. I want you to put it on your Facebook page. And I want you to email it to everybody that you know. And I want you to keep doing it. We've got 25 days to build a tsunami, and we need to double and triple these numbers before Sunday. These bastards come back to town next Tuesday, I think. Okay? They come back to the Imperial City next Tuesday to chew the shit about Syria. Now, the G20 ends, I think, this weekend. I'm assuming that Dildo's going to go on some vacation somewhere before he comes back to work. Frankly, I wish they would just keep him. I mean, I'm sure that Vladimir doesn't want him to stay in Russia, but, you know, maybe he could stop over in Mozambique or Gambia or something and just stay there and not come back. But eventually he'll come back. But Congress, and he's going to come speak to Congress and make his case for why this action is necessary, okay? The Syria thing is important. We're going to be talking about it Sunday night, 10 p.m., tune in. But we've got all this other stuff on the table, and you need to hit these guys before they come back. They need to know that you don't want to go to war in Syria, and you do not want the IRS handling your medical care. That's what they need to know. Those two things will stop that dead in its track, and then we can handle amnesty and all these other things. Remember that John Boehner is a complete pussy, okay? And remember that Mitch McConnell is not a conservative. And remember that Harry Reid is a committed statist liberal. That's what you're dealing with. That's who's coming back to town. And you've got to push hard. Ted Cruz is working tirelessly. Mike Lee is working tirelessly. Rand Paul is working tirelessly. Justin Amash, Trey Gowdy, you've got good statesmen up there doing the work. But numbers matter, and everybody's got their eye on 2014. You need to make them feel the heat. The whole reason that this whole Syria thing looks like such an amateur hour, you know, kabuki theater show is because they have to keep changing their tactics because they thought as soon as they say we're going to war, everybody will get all nationalistic and jingoistic and rah, rah, rah. Well, it didn't happen this time. It didn't happen, even though Fox News was pushing for it and MSLSD was silent about it because they didn't want to really promote the war, but they also don't want to beat up on their guy, right? But the Internet went crazy, and people put two and two together and said, these guys are spying on me. The IRS is targeting people. They haven't told us what happened in Benghazi, but they're absolutely sure that Assad used chemical weapons. How the fuck do you know that? You don't even know why your ambassador in Benghazi was killed because you were you know, playing poker or whatever the hell you were doing. But you know for sure, and you have high confidence that Assad used chemical weapons. I mean, who believes you? No one believes you anymore. So the American people are coming along with it.
They're full of shit.
What?
I have high confidence that they're full of shit.
Yeah, look at the government's interjection in Egypt and what's going on that's been buried in the news.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on, and it can be overwhelming.
Well,
go ahead, Tex.
Well, Rex, I mean, you sort of were going a little bit there, so I didn't want to jump in. When you were talking about the healthcare system and reporting all your health insurance and all this kind of stuff and turning over your retirement, everything. You report your income to these people. Now you're going to turn your health care insurance over to them. They take care of you when you fucking retire. You turn everything over to them. And this stuff costs money, right? And they're kind of out of money, right? Like they have to basically counterfeit or print money from the Federal Reserve in order to afford this stuff. So at what point are they just going to say, like, I don't know, you're too expensive for me. You got to go, right? You've turned everything over to these people, over to the government, because you're not willing to take care of yourself or take responsibility for yourself, and eventually the government's just going to say, well, you know, you're too costly. You're just done. You got to go. If it's going to happen, I guarantee you it will. And you know what? When do they start factoring in your costs, how much money you've taken out of Social Security into whether or not you get, you know, whatever, the liver transplant or whatever it is you need done, you know, into whether or not it, you know, it makes sense for them to pay for the procedure. They're just going, wow, you're too expensive. It costs way too much. You know how much money we could clear if we just told this person, no, send them home. They'll die in like a week, 2 weeks, whatever. And, you know, then the other taxpayers who are young and healthy, they don't have to carry this burden. Don't think it won't happen. Governments make that kind of calculus all the freaking time. That's what government's around for. I mean, basically, they've been making these calculations, for, you know, since time immemorial. I wouldn't turn all this stuff over to them, but I'm stuck in a society of a bunch of people who don't give a crap, you know, going home watching, and I know we make fun of Dancing with the Stars, so I'm going to say going home watching Breaking Bad and not paying attention to what the hell is going on, right, and you don't care, and then you don't go have these conversations with people, or when you do, you completely demonize the opposition. I was talking with a friend of mine. He tends to be fairly libertarian-ish, and we tend to agree on a lot of things. He's just a moron. He votes for a Democrat. And so he was saying, you know, this is how he started this conversation. He said, the problem with the right is a large part of your party, you're just evil. I mean, not all of you, but some of you are just legitimately evil. I'm like, that's not even how, what are you even talking about? Like, who is legitimately goes down like, oh, today I'm just going to be completely evil, right? You know, but you have to go have these conversations because over time, you know, we sort of develop the areas of common understanding. But he still deals completely with scarecrow mentality because he's been on the left and he's stuck on the leftist plantation. And he's not allowed to think for himself or, you know, humanize the opposition or whatever. But, you know, screw him. But you're going to have to go have these conversations with people and start building bridges because we're getting screwed by this two-party system. And there needs to be a new party, a real second party in this country, that actually is about addressing problems, not creating more problems. It's about empowering the citizens vis-a-vis an ever-encroaching status system that's consuming everything around it, including the economy, and turning us all back into serfs.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. That's the fundamental problem. Guys, believe it or not, we got only 20 minutes of show left. Folks, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. throughout September, we're going to bring you these special shows because this is a huge topic. We haven't even scratched the surface on, A, the incremental gradualism that brought us to the spearhead of Obamacare and nationalized health care. We haven't talked about the fact that this is not merely a move about preventing this debacle from destroying jobs and taking over your health care and handing, like Tex just said, everything that you have over to the IRS. This is also about turning the tide away from not only the liberal left statists, but the pussy rhinos who are acting like conservatives when they're running and then actually pushing forward the corporatist Keynesian agenda when they get in office. And it's about the conservative / libertarian grassroots having a voice. This is like the contract with America. It's like the conservative revolution Gingrich led in 95. We haven't even scratched the surface of that. We're going to be talking about that next week, Thursday, 10 p.m. Tune in for that. Make sure you share this show throughout the week. Get this information to people. We've only got 25 days, so it's not about, you know, I'll get to it tomorrow, next week, or, you know, next month. It's urgent. This is important. We need to build this conservative libertarian tsunami right now of grassroots activism
with loud voices so that we let them know we're behind Ted Cruz, we're behind Rand Paul, we're behind Trey Gowdy, we're behind Justin Amash. That's what the people want. And if you guys even want an inkling of a victory in 2014, you'd better get on board. So this is not only about doing the right thing. It's about being about following the Constitution. It's about our principles as Americans. It's about revitalizing conservatism in the Republican Party, and it's actually about winning elections. It's good on all fronts, and we're going to get into all that. But right now what you need to do is go to www.don'tfundit.com. Sign the petition. I want you to get at least five people before these 20 minutes are up to also sign it. Get it out on Twitter, hashtag Don't Fund It. Go ahead, Dex.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you raised something about politicians, particularly Republicans, who – run as one thing, they promise the world, like, oh, I'm a conservative, and they go and they govern as liberals. There's a, and now I forget the district, but there's like a movement out there. There's a bunch of people who start, they're recalling congresspeople who run for office, and then they don't live up to the promises. Like, they said they were going to do this, and then they get into office, like, oh, well, screw you, now I'm not accountable. And you'll forget about me because everybody just votes Nike. Like, oh, I remember that name, so I'm going to vote for him, or her, as the case may be, right? And so a bunch of people, they're going and they're looking at the campaign promises that were made, whether or not that representative or senator, as the case may be, lived up to them. And if they didn't, they're recalling them. And they're having recall votes and they're replacing them. And I think, hey, this is awesome. What a better way to stick it to these bastards who are screwing us, you know? I'll go promise you the world where I'm running for office. And when I get in there, I'm just going to turn my back on you completely. And you're going to forget about it because you're too busy. You're too poor. You're too broke. Because I'm up here, you know, fucking up the economy, promising you that I'm going to fix it, and then I'm screwing the thing up so that you're more dependent on government the next time I come around for office. So, you know, I don't know. If they're doing that to you, I say recall them anytime you want. And you know what? If you want to recall them, every voter in that district can vote to recall them. So you could probably even get, you know, some people on the other side to help you recall the SOBs lying to you. And you can have a rematch, right? All right, now, who's going to do this, right? And after a while, they're going to get the message, and they're going to start delivering on the promises that they made. It's called accountability.
Well,
and the citizens are going to have to start selling in their elected officials because government is. Right, go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just – what flashed through my mind was the success of the Tea Party movement. And I've said this before in conversations with you all, that – what happened was, in my opinion, was people dropped their guard. They thought, wow, look at this great success and win. The people rose up and they gave us all this new success across the country, not just in Congress, but in states. And it seems like in the states where we have pretty strong Republican control, you know, they've made a lot of changes. You know, there's been reform. You know, they like to talk about the job figures. Well, I've said forever, I don't know what's wrong with the Republicans. Why don't they list out the states and show the states that are increasing, you know, dropping unemployment and getting their budgets together and this and that and the other. You know, I mean, Perry likes to talk about it. He's going, hell, we're half the employment, you know, during this recession. He's not afraid to boast about it. For some reason, the Republicans can't message worth a crap, and it just drives me nuts. But back to what I was saying is I really believe people just kind of rolled over and said, hey, we won. Okay, well, we got the House, and we shored up the Senate, so it's not a supermajority. Okay, now we can stop Obama. And then, well, the problem is they didn't get rid of the frickin' the Bush-era rhinos. And you know, I've said this 1,000 times, until people understand that R on the jersey does not mean they stand for what you stand for. You've got to get involved and learn how to research, you know, and look at people's voting records, look at what they ran on. Well, we know what they ran on. They all ran on the same lie. I'm a conservative, you know, smaller government, no new taxes. How many of them voted for tax increases? How many of them voted for the debt ceiling increase last time? How many of them are fighting Ted Cruz right now on trying to shut this thing down before it gets implemented in a month? I mean, in less than a month. I mean, I'm just – people need to wake up. I see it on social media. I see people have a stronger sense of commitment to what they believe in, and they're more willing to be more critical of both sides of the aisle instead of just doing the left versus right, you know, American political idol game all day long. Because that's, I mean, that just drives me nuts when people Obama this, mm-hmm. Obama that, Obama this, Obama that, mm-hmm. for 4.5 freaking years. We control the House and have some pretty strong guys in the Senate. And if they're not fighting these things, they love to do their Obamacare vote get rid of Obamacare. Well, you know it's never going to make it in the Senate, and you know it's never going to be signed. You have to be smart. Newt Gingrich, whether you like him or not, knows how to get things done with a liberal president. And he's talked about appropriations. He's talked about funding mechanisms, all these things. I mean, I really believe the Republicans sat back and just kind of quietly rolled through and approved everything under Obama, hoping that in 2012 it would be so ugly that everybody would vote for their rhino. Well, it didn't happen. Yep. And now they got to work. And they're not working very good because they just raised taxes. There's a bunch of them talking about starting an illegal war. You know, I mean, beating up on Cruz. He's got to, if the Republicans were on step with this thing, I really believe the voters, all they're looking for, it's why people get so excited over a 13-hour filibuster or Ted mm-hmm. Cruz when he stands up, is we're just looking for a few champions to get up and frickin' do what the hell we voted you in for.
And they're doing it, Chris.
Someone's actually standing up for principles and voicing the will of the people. Holy crap, we've never seen this before. Somebody actually gives a crap about what we think. Only like, we have a moral obligation to do whatever, to go kill more Syrians. So that's the moral thing to do. Leave them alone.
Let's see. Syrians are killing Syrians, so we're going to Syrians are killing Syrians, so we're going to have to go kill some Syrians so that Syrians stop killing Syrians. I mean, it's just like that. Any way you cut the equation, it's about killing Syrians. It's insane. But no, you're absolutely right, Chris, and Tex. You both are spot on. We have statesmen. We have champions. We have guys that are not only principled, but they know how to play the game. And what they need Ted Cruz said, a tsunami of grassroots. And Chris, you mentioned Newt, and we're going to talk about Newt a lot next week, because what Ted is proposing is a continuing resolution, which is a pansy-ass way to, avoid having a real budget, okay? But that's what he's got to work with. He doesn't have a choice. A continuing resolution that funds government operations, which most of them are shit anyway, but that's a battle for another day, but not this Obamacare debacle. Now, a lot of people say, but if you don't fund it, it's still law. They can go back and fund it later. Okay, right now, we're not going to get rid of it as law. That's just an impractical idea, and there's no time to waste. So defunding it is a way to shut it down for now, but it also creates a electoral victory, a moral victory, a principled victory, and it's a good political move to box Obama into not having this principal piece of his legislative legacy exist. By defunding it, it's temporarily dead, and then the victory that comes with that and the rise in conservatism and libertarianism within the Republican Party in the next few election cycles, then we can start peeling this back. The gradualism to get here has taken us 100 years. 100 years. You're not going to get rid of it in a week. You're not going to get rid of it in an election cycle. You're not going to get rid of it in one presidential term. So you take your victories where you can get them. The Republicans love to vote against Obamacare, knowing full well, like you guys just said, that won't do anything. All of a sudden, one of them stands up and says, hey, here's a way to actually make this thing die. Well, I know it's kind of controversial. We don't want to do that. Now, it's unbelievable. You mentioned Newt. And like I said, we're going to talk about him a lot. But here's 30 seconds with Newt talking about basically the future of conservatism, the future of the Republican Party.
The establishment will grow more and more hysterical the more powerful Rand Paul and Ted Cruz become, and they will gain strength as it's obvious that they're among the few people willing to raise the right question. And I consistently have been on the side of having the courage that Rand Paul and Ted Cruz have. And I think it's sad to watch the establishment grow hysterical. Christie is a very good governor of New Jersey. Apparently, in a New Jersey tradition, he thinks that bluster and strong language without facts can carry you a long way.
There you have it. This is Newt Gingrich supporting Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, and he's telling you the more powerful they become. Now, listen to Newt. Newt, like him or not, is besides the point right now, but he is a phenomenal political strategist and an effective Washington player, okay? And you have to have that. You can have all the principles in the world, but if you don't know how to play this game, you can't move the ball. Newt does know how to do that. Now, he's not always right, but that's besides the point. Just listen to the strategy, okay? He's telling you the more powerful they become. How do Senator Paul and Senator Cruz become more powerful? They're speaking. They're standing up. They're picking and choosing their battles. You notice Rand endorsed Mitch McConnell. Oh, he's a traitor to the cause. No. Mitch McConnell is the majority leader of his party. He's also the senior senator from his state. It would be a stupid move for Rand Paul to go toe-to-toe against Mitch McConnell because he won't end up on any committee. Now, you saw this week the Foreign Relations Committee. Rand Paul was the only voice of reason against douchebag John Kerry. If he pisses off Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul won't be there. You won't see him on C-SPAN. He won't be on the Foreign Relations Committee. So he's smart. He's picking and choosing his battles. But the reason that Ted and Rand are becoming more powerful is because they are going over the party. They are going over the leadership. They are speaking directly to you. And you have to speak back. You speak back right now by going to www.don'tfundit.com. And every friggin' minute you've got, when you're taking a smoke break, a coffee break, after you wash your hands from the bathroom, before meals, whenever you got a moment, instead of doing something stupid like playing Candy Crush Saga or watching, you know, Fox and Fools or Dancing with the Douchebags or something like that, just take a moment to share it with a few people and get them to sign it and build the tsunami. That's what you do. That's what you do. Gentlemen, we've got less than 8 minutes left, so we're going to go to final thoughts, and then we're going to close out with a little bit of Ronald Reagan. There's so much stuff we didn't get to today, folks, but go to www.don'tfundit.com. We'll be back Sunday night, 10 p.m., our regular time, for our regular irreverent show. And then we're going to come back again next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, and do another Obliterate Obamacare and Kickstart the Conservative Comeback show, because there's so much to cover. And we're going to talk a lot about the 95 conservative revolution and how those tactics and strategies apply today to what Ted Cruz is doing and why this is important. So why don't we go ahead and go to Chris for final thoughts, and then Tex, and then I'll close it out.
Well, am I off mute? Okay, I'm connected. One of the things that I've noticed, sometimes I think people just get overwhelmed. And I think that, you know, when we came out of the primary, people really just and Romney lost, which for a lot of us, we just was like, yeah, so what? We told you that. But for a lot of people, it's very devastating because they put all their eggs in one basket. And that is not what runs this country. The presidency is just one component. And it really boils back to what you were talking about with Ted Cruz and Rand and Amash, is going to the people. And the social media and the internet has really changed the dynamics. When I look at the two things that I really got involved in, I mean, I've been involved in a lot of things, but, you know, the Second Amendment battle coming out of Connecticut before anybody was even talking about it. When the shooting in Connecticut happened, I knew they were going to come after our guns. And we did shows on it, and we posted and, you know, just did a lot of work around that. But what happened was it took a little while because it was through the holidays. But what happened was people rose up, because that was an area where, regardless of your political leaning, that, you know, if you believed in the Second Amendment and your right to bear arms, protect yourself, blah, 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 that that was a no red line. That was a red line. And the country rose up and defeated it. And when you look at Syria, same thing. You know, the country is rising up. The numbers are like less than 9% of the people are even polled, are even going, yeah, we should do something. You know, everybody else is going, no, stay the hell out of it. And so the government is facing such a huge uphill battle, you know, in this situation, because if they overstep their bounds on this serious situation, you know, they've got the whole country's against them, regardless of your political leanings, again. And so when you look at these things like what Cruz is doing or Rand Paul's doing or Amash or these guys who pick these battles and go straight to the people, I see the people are just sick and tired of the last 4.5 years. Go back to the Bush era even. But people are just tired of the government, the all-time low. People are starting to learn how to network. They're starting to learn how to focus on specific things. They're getting their act together. Like I said, I think that what happened, and I believe this, that after the Tea Party had such high success across the country, people dropped their guard and went, okay, well, they'll take care of it now. We voted in the right people. You know, we the people got up and rallied and waved our flags and did our meetings, and everything's okay now because we got a good group of people in there. And they went back to their lives. And so what's happening with all this crap the last 4.5 years is people are getting up going, well, you can't trust Boehner, you can't trust Cantor, you can't trust McConnell, and we got a handful of guys standing up, you know, fighting like dogs, you know, for some sanity in the government. You know, they raise our damn taxes, they raise the debt ceiling, they're getting ready to do it again, they're trying to get us in another war, you know. Our intervention isn't working, we need to re-look at foreign policy, and people are rising up, and I really believe that what you said is true, that nobody trusts the government, and they're starting to find their heroes, and they need your support, you know, and that includes going to their Facebook page, excuse me, and leaving something encouraging on there, you know, because they're getting beat up by the left and the right, or by the R's and the D's. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there, but, you know, I see it. I people are burnt out and they're overwhelmed, but I see people fighting back, and that's good. I'm done.
Nailed it. And Chris, tell us what's going on, Coalition of Freedom, and then we'll go to Tex for his final thoughts.
Oh, God, what's going on? I don't know. We're picking the top items. You know, if you look at the top of the page, besides the show, Syria, Obamacare, or health care reform, you know, who the conservatives' heroes are. You know, we try to stay at the G20, the G20 summit. That's really a big deal. So we try to pick the, you know, good subjects, important subjects, and stay on them and not get caught up and distracted by the news of the day. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a whole slew of scandals going on, so it's kind of hard to keep people focused. But that's what we try to do on this group, is educate people so they can take that information out, not get caught up in the news of the day, get the right information, and carry that message out and away from the group to wherever else they hang out. That's what kind of where, you know, when I started this group, that was the purpose of it. And that's
excellent.
What we just do.
All right. Coalition of Freedom on Facebook. Make sure you join. Also like the Tex and Rex show on Facebook. And if you join Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia, you will get all the clips we play on the show, any articles we reference, quotes, and other relevant information. All right, it looks like we're at the two-minute mark, but we'll probably spill in overtime to close out. Tex, your final thoughts on obliterating Obamacare.
I won't take too long. Defund the thing, and everyone complains, oh, yeah, well, we can't do anything about it because Obama will just veto it. Okay, well, have the damn vote anyway, right? And then figure out who's voting for it, who's voting against it. And then if he vetoes it, then okay, have a vote to override the veto. And then find out who's on your side, who's on the other side. And then you got Republicans who are sort of part of the, as Chris was alluding to, not necessarily the left and the right, but the left and the flaccid left. You know, figure out who's on the flaccid left and get rid of them. Recall them. You know, hey, you said you were going to do this. You screwed us. You know, the votes can be clarifying things. They can organize people's thoughts. They can organize whole movements. So, around how you phrase this thing, and actually Chris was saying earlier that he thought the Republicans were bad at messaging. I don't think they're bad at messaging. I just think they don't believe their own message. That's the problem. The leadership of the Republican Party doesn't believe its message. So they don't want a message because they hate their own message. They run on it, and then they get elected like, oh, God, you know, now I got, well, these people expect me to do this, these radicals, you know, because they're totally bought into the complete Washington narrative that, oh, it's all these radicals, oh, they're, you know, just this diminishing part of the, you know, electorate, they'll go away, they have these archaic views that will never, oh, they think the government should be limited and all this kind of stuff, they don't understand the brave new world we're moving into and all this, you know, well, yeah, I got, you know, let me advance a radical theory, people don't want to move into that damn brave new world. Well, we're all pissed off about. We keep freaking electing people overwhelmingly to get us out of the thing, and then they go in and they screw that person over, you know, in the media or whatever it is. And then, so, okay, so we find some new heroes, and we go elect those people. They screw them over in the media, and they start painting a false narrative of them or whatever. Or they won't even let you pick that person because you got, like, a jackass like Karl Rove who comes in with $10 bajillion, and Mitt Romney who goes and buys the party wholesale. And then you're not allowed to pick who you want because you can only pick Mitt Romney. Every choice is freaking Mitt Romney. Well, screw Mitt Romney. We don't want that guy. So then we don't vote for him. Like, oh, yeah, well, this just proves that's the end of the Republican Party. No, I would think a Republican Party that elects Mitt Romney would be the end of the Republican Party because now you're picking a Massachusetts liberal who created Obamacare to run your party. So what the hell's the point? Why even go vote? Anyway, sorry, getting a little upset about it. But look, the thing is, go have the damn vote. Don't fund the thing. And then let the chips fall where they may. And everybody's got to take a stand up there in Congress. That's what they don't want to do. They don't want to have to take the stand. Like, oh, yeah, we know the outcome already, though, so don't make me take the stand. No, screw you. You got elected. You said you wanted the job. Now you go take an embarrassing vote, and we figure out who the jackasses are, and then we pull your asses out of Congress because we recall you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. No, you got it, and I'm glad you got fired up. I mean, this is – look, people, if you're not as fired up as we are, you're not as fired up as Tex and Chris are – you're dead, because this is not some minor, you know, someone decided to put another lane on the highway outside of your office building kind of little bullshit bill. This is 16% of your economy, and it's expanded much more than that when you factor in, you know, the jobs that it's destroying, the billions of hours of wasted productivity and leisure to comply with this fucking thing, and the fact that it's implemented by the IRS. If you're not upset, then there's something wrong with you. And if you're upset, don't sit there and yell at the TV. Get busy. Get busy. Do what Tex and Chris have told you to do. You go to www.don'tfundit.com, all right? You sign the petition. You share it with people. You've got to get this show out there. You know, we appreciate everybody who shares the show and posts it for us. It's our only, you know, advertising mechanism to get people to come and listen. But the show is available on the Tex and Rex show page on Blog Talk Radio in your browser or mobile device all the time. You can download it as an MP3. This is information that needs to get to the people who normally, A, don't listen to this show or aren't even involved in social media politics. You've got to get this information out to them. Don't just confirm the brethren. That's always wonderful. But go out to the other places. Go to Greta Wire. Go to Fox News. Go to MSNBC. Go to anywhere on the web and post this show. Post www.don'tfundit.com. Tell people about it. Get the word out there because we need massive numbers to support what Tex and Chris called our heroes, our statesmen, who are up there doing the fighting. Encourage them. Help them fight. The reason they're growing more powerful, like Newt Gingrich told you, is because they're going right to the people. But they need more. They need big numbers because the numbers behind Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Justin Amash and Trey Gowdy put fear into the entrenched corporatist, Keynesian, statist, technocratic leadership, because they're fearful of losing their stature, their position, and their prestige. And the only way that happens is if they realize, oh, shit, the people have woken up. And that's why they're having an oh-shit moment over Syria right now. They're like, we did the usual propaganda. We gave them the high-confidence evidence. We showed them, you know, the bad Muslim guy and the dead children. And yet 90% of them are saying, don't do this. That's never happened before. What do we do? That's what you've got to do. If you want to end the welfare warfare state, you not only stay on point on Syria to end the warfare, you stay on point on Obamacare to end the welfare. It's not going to happen overnight, but this one, this focus right now is 25 days before the continuing resolution, October 1st, Obamacare for the individual, not necessarily the corporation, goes full online. Now is the time to stop it. Now is the time to take action. www.don'tfundit.com. Tweet it out, Facebook it, email it, tell people about it,
get people to sign it, get people to take action. It's not something to put off till tomorrow. We don't have enough time. These people come back to the Imperial City Monday. We got to hammer the crap out of them. It's going to be this whole Syria distraction. Now, we're going to talk a lot more about Syria, the G20, and conservatism Sunday night in our regular slot, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tune in. Please tell people about the show. Get the word out there. There's a lot of people out there on the web who are doing good work. You know, Chris Green at Greenwave TV, Josh Tolley, Ben Swan. We're trying to be part of that. You know, Robert Jetter, Bard's Logic, Political Talk. This is the new journalism. This is the new free press, because the corporatist-owned media, the Fox News, MSLSD, the networks, they are just towing the corporatist bankster government line. If you want truth, if you want information, you want real analysis, you've got to get out here. A lot of people don't know that. Share this with them. It's very, very important. So take action. Do a little bit every day. Do a little bit every hour. Whenever you're taking a break, get people to sign the petition, share information with them, post this show. You can post the links, but get this show out there so that people can get this information. Next week, we'll bring you more information about how we got here as far as healthcare goes. We're going to talk about the 95 conservative revolution and the parallels to what Ted Cruz is doing now. We're going to bring you these shows every Thursday in September. Join us at a regular time, Sunday nights. Again, www.don'tfundit.com. I'm going to close out with a preview of some history lesson from Reagan about socialized medicine, and then we'll see you Sunday night, 10 p.m. This is Tex and Rex signing off.
The flames of liberty will never die.
Back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us, and at the moment, is more imminent, more imminent, more imminent.
One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose,
would unhesitatingly vote against it.
We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States. And, of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine,
Congressman Ferran said,
if we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, then we can expand the program after that. Well, let's see what the socialists themselves have to say about it. They say, once the Ferran bill is passed, this nation will be provided with a mechanism for socialized medicine capable of indefinite expansion in every direction until it includes the entire population. Well, we can't say we haven't been warned.
James Madison, in 1788, speaking to the Virginia Convention, said, since the general civilization of mankind, I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachment of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations.
Now, in our country, under our free enterprise system, we have seen medicine reach the greatest heights that it has in any country in the world. Today, the relationship between patient and doctor in this country
is something to be envied any place.
The privacy, the care that is given to a person, the right to choose a doctor, the right to go from one doctor to the other. But let's also look from the other side at the freedom the doctor loses. The doctor begins to lose freedom.
It's like telling a lie, and one leads to another.
First, you decide that the doctor can have so many patients, they're equally divided among the various doctors by the government. But then the doctors aren't equally divided geographically. So a doctor decides he wants to practice in one town, and the government has to say to him, you can't live in that town, they already have enough doctors, you have to go someplace else. And from here, it's only a short step to dictating where he will go. This is a freedom that I wonder whether any of us have the right to take from any human being. In this country of ours took place the greatest revolution that has ever taken place in the world's history, the only true revolution. Every other revolution simply exchanged one set of rules for another. But here, for the first time in all the thousands of years of man's relation to man, a little group of men, the founding fathers, for the first time, establish the idea that you and I have within ourselves the God-given right and ability to determine our own destiny. This freedom was built into our government with safeguards. We talk democracy today. Strangely, we let democracy begin to assume the aspect of majority rule is all that is needed. Well, majority rule is a fine aspect of democracy, provided there are guarantees written in to our government concerning the rights of the individual and of the minorities. What can we do about this?
Well, you and I can do a great deal.
We can say right now that we want no further encroachment on these individual liberties and freedoms.
And that you demand
the continuation of our traditional free enterprise system.
You and I can do this.
The only way we can do it is by writing to our congressman, even if we believe that he's on our side to begin with. Write to strengthen his hand. Write those letters now. Call your friends and tell them to write. If you don't, this program, I promise you, will pass just as surely as the sun will come up tomorrow. And behind it will come other federal programs that will invade every area of freedom as we have known it in this country. Until one day, as Norman Thomas said, we will awake to find that we have socialism.
And if you don't do this, and if I don't do it, one of these days, you and I are going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.